Imagine this. Every meal feels rushed, you're barely tasting anything, and you just feel tired or unwell. What if there was a simpler way? A way to change your whole relationship with food?
Yeah, leading to, like, more energy, better digestion, maybe just feeling healthier overall.
Exactly. And that's the big question we're diving into today, looking at Chapter 3, Mindful Eating, A Path to a Healthy Body, from your source material.
Mm-hmm. This is basically our shortcut to the core ideas in that chapter. Our mission really is to explore what it actually means to connect with your food.
Why that connection matters so much.
And how it can genuinely impact your physical well-being and your mental state too, sometimes in ways you wouldn't expect.
Spot on. We're talking about mindful eating. It's an approach that really focuses on awareness, balance, and intention.
Paying attention to what you eat, sure, but also how you eat, and maybe most importantly, why you're eating it.
Right. Looking at the nutritional side, of course, but also that emotional connection we often ignore.
And the goal isn't just, you know, weight loss or something narrow like that. It's broader, making healthier choices overall.
Reducing that stress that can build up around food.
Yeah, and just building a better, more positive relationship with meals and with your body.
And our AI assistant, EB, will be popping in with key insights from the sources throughout our chat.
Helping us unpack things like food as fuel, what it's made of, the risks when things are missing, nutritional gaps.
And of course, the power of eating a balanced diet.
Okay, so let's dive in. Part one, why food matters, fueling our bodies.
It sounds basic, doesn't it? Food equals fuel. But it's so, so much more than just calories in.
Absolutely. The link between food and our physical and mental health is incredibly deep. It affects energy, growth, mood.
Even our ability to fight off diseases, what we eat and how we eat it, can literally change things.
It's fundamental for survival, isn't it? Every single thing our body does, even breathing,
needs energy from food.
Right. And then there's growth, development, keeping the immune system strong, repairing tissues, like proteins, rebuilding muscle. It's all food-driven.
And it's fascinating how this plays out globally. Traditional foods in different places aren't random.
Not at all. They reflect what grows there, the crops, the soil, the climate. It creates this amazing tapestry of food habits.
India is such a great example you mentioned.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Think about Gujarat. You might see Hanvo using local grains, often with buttermilk, very suited to the region.
Then you go to Punjab, and it's Makki Di Roti, Lassi, based on their crops, like maize and wheat.
Or West Bengal fish curry, tea.
Yeah.
Reflecting the geography, the rice paddies, the fishing. These dishes have deep roots.
And these traditions aren't static either, are they? Cooking itself has changed massively.
Hugely. Cultural shifts, history, economics, it all plays a part.
I mean, think about going from old school chulas, those clay stoves.
Yeah, fueled by wood or dung cakes.
Okay.
To modern gas stoves or induction cooktops. It's a world of difference.
Or grinding spices by hand with a silbata versus just flicking on an electric grinder.
Technology, globalization.
Yeah.
Simplified things, but also opened up this huge world of fusion cooking and new ingredients.
Okay, so food is vital, but there are also a lot of myths out there that can really trip people up. Let's tackle one. Fats.
Ah, yes. The old all fats are bad idea.
Yeah.
Still hear it all the time.
And it's just not true, is it?
Not at all. We need fats. The good ones, unsaturated fats, think avocados, nuts, olive oil. They're essential for hormones, absorbing certain vitamins, brain health, you name it.
Okay, what about skipping breakfast? That's another classic weight loss tip.
Another myth. It could actually backfire. Your metabolism might slow down, thinking there's a famine coming.
And then you end up overeating later because you're starving.
Exactly. Breakfast breaks that overnight fast. It gives you energy, gets your metabolism going, helps regulate blood sugar. It's crucial.
And EB just flagged a fun fact. The average adult body has enough carbon for 9,000 pencils.
Yeah. Okay. That's a lot of pencils.
Yeah. Right. Or that a single apple gives you about 10, 15 grams of carbs for quick energy. Simple things, but important.
Okay. So we get why food is crucial. Now let's look at what it's made of, the building blocks.
The nutrients, the components our bodies need to function, get energy.
Right, and we usually group them by what they mainly do.
So you've got the energy providers, carbohydrates like in honey, bread, rice.
And fats, oils, butter, nuts, lots of energy packed in there.
Then the bodybuilders, proteins, milk, lentils, eggs, meat.
Crucial for growth and repair. And finally, the protective foods. Vitamins and minerals.
Found in things like spinach, fruits, milk. They're like the body's security team, boosting immunity.
Exactly. And your sources list seven key essentials. Carbs, fats, proteins, vitamins, minerals, water, and fiber.
Let's break those down a bit. Carbs?
Primary energy source. Simple ones give quick bursts. Complex ones, like whole grains, provide sustained energy. Think potatoes, brown rice, mangoes.
Fats. We know they're not all bad now.
Right. Concentrated energy, yes, but also insulation, protecting organs, and vital for absorbing vitamins A, D, E, and K, found in dairy, nuts, vegetable oils.
Proteins, the builders.
Yeah. Growth, tissue repair, immunity. Pulses, eggs, fish, meat are great sources.
Vitamins.
The regulators. So many body functions rely on them. Immune strength, too. Vitamin C in citrus. Vitamin D from sun or milk. Minerals may be needed in smaller amounts, but still vital.
Like calcium for bones. Iron for carrying oxygen in your blood. Found in dairy, leafy greens.
And water. Can't forget water. Essential for, well, everything. Digestion, detox, temperature control.
Drink your water. And also get it from foods like watermelon.
And finally, fiber, the digestive champion. Helps with cholesterol, keeps things moving. Whole grains, carrots, beans.
Okay, so those are the core nutrients. You mentioned millets earlier as getting more attention.
Yes, and rightly so. They're not just grains, they're nutritional powerhouses. Super versatile and incredibly resilient crops.
Resilient how?
They can grow in really tough, arid conditions where other crops might fail. That makes them super important for food security globally. They've fed people for thousands of years.
And health-wise.
Really balanced nutrition. They can help manage things like diabetes, heart disease, weight. Plus, they're often gluten-free and easy to digest. A real ancient superfood, you could say.
It's also cool how basic science helps us understand food, like that iodine test for starch.
Yeah, that blue-black color change. It's the iodine molecules getting physically trapped inside the coiled starch structure. Simple chemistry, but tells you a lot.
Okay, back to myths quickly. Skipping meals for weight loss, we busted that one.
Right. It messes with your metabolism, can lead to overeating. Consistency is generally better than deprivation.
And EB has another fact. Broccoli has more vitamin C than an orange.
Huh. See, oranges get all the good press, but broccoli is packing a punch.
Why do you think oranges are the go-to for vitamin C in people's minds?
Probably good marketing over the years. Maybe easier to eat. But it shows nutrients come from lots of places.
And speaking of essential things, the human body is about 60% water, involved in pretty much everything.
Mind-blowing when you think about it. Okay, let's move to part three, the pitfalls. What happens when we don't get enough of these nutrients?
Nutritional gaps. When your diet is consistently missing key vitamins, minerals, or even the macronutrients like protein or carbs.
And this leads to deficiency diseases, real health problems.
Like scurvy from not enough vitamin C. Think bleeding gums, wounds not healing. Stuff sailors used to get.
Or rickets in kids from vitamin D deficiency. Leads to weak, soft bones, issues with teeth.
Anemia is super common. Often iron or B12 deficiency. Makes you feel weak, tired, pale, no appetite.
Then there's osteoporosis, weak bones later in life linked to not enough calcium and vitamin D over time.
Goiter, that neck swelling from iodine deficiency, can also affect brain development.
Even tooth decay can be linked to fluorine deficiency.
And it's not just vitamins and minerals. Lack of macronutrients is serious too.
Definitely. Not enough carbs. You'll feel constant fatigue, no stamina, just exhausted quickly. Your main fuel is low.
And protein deficiency. That can really impact growth, especially in kids. Causes hair changes, swelling, skin problems, diarrhea.
And there are severe forms in children, like kwashiorkor, mainly protein lack, causing that swollen belly, irritability.
Or marasmus, which is a severe lack of both protein and calories, leads to extreme thinness, muscle wasting, really serious conditions.
And this is where science is so crucial. Understanding exactly how nutrients work, how they're absorbed, what happens when they're missing?
That knowledge lets us do things like fortify foods, adding iodine to salt, for example.
Or develop supplements to fill gaps. It's about applying that scientific understanding directly to health.
Okay, another myth alert. Eating organic prevents all diseases. True.
No. Organic food can be great. Fewer pesticides, maybe. But it's not a magic bullet.
It's more about the overall picture, isn't it?
Exactly. A balanced diet with lots of whole foods, organic or not, plus exercise, managing stress. That's what really builds health and prevents disease, is the whole lifestyle.
And EB adds, your body needs 13 different vitamins, and we can't make vitamin C ourselves.
Which is why getting it from food is non-negotiable.
This leads to something practical people can do, become a food label detective.
Yeah, actually reading those labels, seeing how much fat, sugar, vitamins are in things. It helps you spot potential gaps and make better choices.
Okay, so we know the risks. Let's talk solutions. Part 4, the path forward, balanced diets and putting mindful eating into practice.
So what is a balanced diet, really? It's not just about avoiding bad foods.
It's about getting the right mix of everything, isn't it? Variety and proportion.
Exactly. Enough carbs, proteins, fats, vitamins, minerals, fiber, water. All the essentials we talked about.
To give you energy, support growth, keep your immune system strong, just maintain overall well-being.
And prevent those deficiencies we just discussed. It's about harmony.
So key principles, lots of fruits and veggies.
Absolutely. Vitamins, minerals, fiber powerhouse, whole grains for that steady energy.
Lean proteins for muscle repair, immunity.
Healthy fats for your brain, energy, and moderation. Plus, variety, don't just eat the same five things every day. Mix it up.
Now let's loop back to mindful eating. Where did this idea actually come from?
Its roots are really ancient. Think Zen Buddhism. Practices involving eating slowly, truly savoring the food, feeling gratitude.
Not exactly a new fad then.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But it got a more formal introduction to Western health contexts through Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn back in 1979.
With his MBSR program, Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction.
Right. He integrated mindfulness principles, including mindful eating, into healthcare.
And governments try to help too, right, with dietary guidelines?
Yeah, they've evolved a lot. The USDA in the U.S., for example, went from basic guides in the 40s to the food pyramid everyone remembers from the 90s.
Which is kind of confusing sometimes.
It could be. Which led to my plate in 2011, a simpler visual guide. The goal is always to make healthy eating easier to understand.
So with all this info, how does mindful eating actually help day to day?
It brings it back to you. Paying attention to your actual hunger signals. Are you really hungry or just bored?
Noticing the flavors, the textures.
Yeah.
Actually enjoying the food.
And tuning into how different foods make your body feel. Do you feel energized after eating that or sluggish?
So it helps you make better choices based on your own experience, not just rules.
Exactly. It can help prevent overeating, make meals more enjoyable, and ultimately lead to a healthier body and honestly a calmer mind around food.
And this connection with food goes beyond our own bodies, doesn't it? Into sustainability.
Huge connection. Think about food miles.
The distance food travels to get to us.
Right. The further it travels, the bigger the environmental footprint, fuel for transport, pollution, plus it costs more.
So reducing food miles is important. Buying local.
Supports local farmers. Usually means fresher food, and it's way better for the planet.
And then there's food waste. Such a massive issue.
It really is. So much effort goes into growing, processing, transporting food, and then huge amounts just get thrown away. It's a waste of resources and disrespect the whole chain.
Science, again, helps us understand all this, right? How food becomes energy.
The incredibly complex chemistry of digestion. Nutritional science is always evolving, helping us refine what healthy eating looks like.
Okay, let's bust those myths one last time because they stick.
Go for it.
All fats are bad.
Nope, need the good ones.
Skipping meals helps you lose weight faster.
Can actually slow things down. Not usually the best strategy.
Got it. And a final fact from EB. Average adult body, 55-60% water.
Underscores how vital hydration is.
And the sweet potato, super nutritious, ancient staple food. Amazing vegetable.
Okay, so let's wrap this deep dive up. We've journeyed through Chapter 3, Mindful Eating, A Path to a Healthy Body.
We looked at food as more than fuel, explored its essential components, the nutrients.
Talked about the real risks of nutritional gaps and deficiency diseases.
And then explored the path forward. Balanced diets, the power of mindful eating.
And even touched on how our food choices connect to sustainability.
So the main takeaway, it's really about awareness, isn't it?
Awareness, balance, and making informed choices. Choices that nourish our bodies, but also consider the wider world.
Cultivating a healthier relationship with food, essentially.
So thinking about all this, what does it mean for you listening right now?
Here's something to chew on. How might just a little more awareness about your food, where it came from, how it gets to you, how it actually makes you feel, change your next meal? Could it turn eating from just consuming into a conscious step towards a healthier, maybe even more sustainable you?